Okay, believe it or not, we're actually finally plugged in. After many dramas, we got a roundtable podcast today going. So should be very good. A few of our guests haven't been able to plug in. We'll see how we go in the course of time if we can grab them. But as usual, this podcast is available from our website, crazfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z, and also it's up at iTunes. So go onto the website and you can get all the information you need there. But we're joined today by the wonderful Dr. Rima. We also have Ralph Yusitola. He's running around somewhere, shoveling the sidewalk, snowed under. And also Lee Maddox from Real News Australia is here with us. And Brett Smith, naturopath as well. So it's going to be a great show. And I'll see if I can bring Alona in now. Let me have a look.
The elevator music.
Drum roll.
Brett, I've just reblogged your article.
Keep going, you guys are right.
If you saw the chat there in the side, I just reblogged your Freedom of Choice event WordPress article.
Oh, jeez.
Yep. So that'll go up on Real News Australia and email to hundreds of people.
Oh, nice, yeah. Oh, no, there was a week there where we were being sort of attacked on a daily basis by the Fairfax Media. Took its turn that month, and I just had enough of it. I thought, I was speaking to the journalists involved, and half of them had absolutely no idea of the subject matter that they were talking about. So, yeah, I sort of put pen to paper one night and thought, oh, if it's good enough for the goose, it's good enough for the gander. So
that's often how it works, though, isn't it, mate? They really don't have any idea on what they're reporting on there, and everything that they write goes... whether it's for or against what our cause is, it goes to the editor, and it's the editor's last say, basically, on what gets printed. You know what I mean? So no matter if the journalist is competent or not, it really goes down to the editor, actually.
Oh, well, it's weird. I had a Twitter exchange with one of the journalists that had written about whooping cough.
Yeah, done that.
And it was incredible. She was saying, I said, look, the fact that you're getting 5 booster shots should be enough of a... of an insight into how ineffective that vaccine actually is. And she came back on Twitter and said, you're an anti-vax liar. There's not 5 booster shots. There's only 2. And I thought, I just linked her straight to the New South Wales immunisation schedule, which clearly shows that there are 5 booster shots for that vaccine. So they don't even know. I mean, they're writing to a national... was just, that article only came about because you know, there were journalists that were writing, you know, stories with total inaccuracies. And, you know, when pushed to further detail, they didn't even have any idea of the subject matter. So, you know, the last sort of comment I made to one of them in particular was, you know, if this was the average Joe wandering around sort of, you know, writing stories like this without any sort of background behind it done, you know, it would be unforgivable. But you're a paid journalist, you know, and you actually have no idea of the subject matter you're writing about.
There's, I've had them too, Brett, from the Courier Mail, I think one of them. I can't remember his name because I don't care. But it was when the marches were on up your way, Lee, with the no-jab marches, and he wrote a ridiculous article in the Courier Mail. It was absolutely, it made my blood boil. And then he told everybody to wear masks. And I contacted him via email, and he actually had a go at me. And I just simply said, "If you know, you're a Murdoch journalist. You call yourself a columnist, and these people go from newspaper to newspaper in that Murdoch circle writing this rubbish and nonsense and propaganda. And then making a good life on it." And I said, you have a serious job here because you're reaching a lot of people. And if you're going to get up there and mouth on with this absolute rubbish, you need to back yourself up. And I challenged him to come on and debate us with Dr. Reamer. And I was very nice about it. And then he got all weird and funny, but he kept, it was almost like a troll. And then so I called him a prostitute and he didn't like it. And then when I went on Twitter, he had all these troll friends on Twitter and they were all bagging me and flooding my page, like some of these guys we've been dealing with. Yeah. So the Murdoch, some of these Murdoch guys are no different than the trolls that we have to deal with. And these guys work for the newspapers in this country. So I hope everybody listening to this understands that, how low these people are. They just simply will not debate, you know.
There is an international, if you will, aspect to all of this. And this is Ralph Fusatola calling in from the United States. I'm in northwest New Jersey right now. There's 2 feet of snow on the ground, and it's still coming down. But I'm here to try to warm the conversation. It's not just the Australian media that's controlled by Murdoch that's doing this. It is a media across the spectrum. For example, Dr. Reamer Labo, who's also on with us tonight, calling from Chile.
Yep.
Dr. Reamer has been banned by The Guardian, the famous left-wing Guardian, for talking about vaccination. Reason Magazine.
Permanently banned.
Permanently
banned.
Wow.
Yeah. Reason Magazine, which is allegedly a semi-libertarian magazine online, has also entertained articles in the past year or so about not allowing people who are against vaccines to be heard on their media either. So it doesn't matter whether you're on the right or the left, you know. And then just a couple of days ago, Forbes.com rejected one of Dr. Reamer's comments, even though it met all their criteria, but it was in defense of vaccine objectors, of conscientious objectors. And apparently there's a major effort being made in the media of mass deception to self-censor vaccination issues. This is very troubling because
it's not government actors
necessarily, but it's alleged private organizations that are becoming the instrumentality of this public policy of censorship. And so it gets around our laws against government censorship.
It is designed to silence not only dissent, but information that could lead to a different conclusion. So what we're talking about is organized propaganda management through the supposedly independent press. I was listening to your discussion, Adam, a moment ago. Before about your conversation with the journalists and Brad as well, and I was thinking, you know, what's wrong with this picture? I'm sorry,
Brett.
Tell me again.
It's Brett.
Tell me again, Brett. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
I know it's all right. Everyone calls me Brad, and lately everyone's been calling me a lot of worse things too. So it's all right. I'm happy with that.
But yes, if they would only just call me. Simply my name, that would be okay. What I was going to say is there's a fundamental error here. You are willing to accord a priori respect and validation credentials, if you will, to somebody because they're a journalist. Well, I see it a little differently. People who work for the media of mass deception choose to be prostitutes. Otherwise, they would not be writing for the media of mass deception. The deception is about war. The deception is about economics. The deception is about geoengineering. The deception is about radiation. Fukushima is not something we have to think about. Neither is your local nuclear power station. The deception is about drugs. Oh, yeah, it's perfectly okay to give children, infants, adolescents, drugs that have never been tested. And, oh, by the way, polypharmacy is perfectly okay. Take your statins. These people deserve no respect.
No.
If they did deserve respect, they wouldn't work for these despicable
papers. But the worst thing now is Brad, you've seen this. They're actually, you showed me that last
corporatist propaganda.
Night. Dr. Rimmer, they're saying the science is settled now. It's finished. There is no debate. That's their way out of it. I guess they're done.
I actually had a scientist from a university on Twitter last week, actually, and I've screenshot it, said there is no debate in science. And I favorited it straight away. I said, listen, that is the most outrageous. Einstein wouldn't make that comment, you know? who are you guys?
Jeez, I've seen it all the time. It's amazing. I can't believe it.
There is no debate in science if the science is an arm of the state. There is no debate in Lysenkian genetics because Stalin said it was true, so it was true. Lenin said it was true, so it was true. There was no debate in bought and paid for state science. There is only forward movement in science when it is neither bought nor paid for and when it can afford to be wrong and discard its previous truths. Otherwise, it's not science, it's religion.
Yeah,
true.
Crazy. It's crazy. I've noticed that that real sly, smart attitude that they've got now because they know how massive our movement has become. It's just, I think, I keep saying that the media in this country, along with the government, all of these people involved in this, they've opened a Pandora's box. They can't be shut. May be slow to react in Australia, but I'm just, Dr. Rima, Brett, we've been doing this for a long time. I mean, we were on here yelling about this before the No Jab, No Play came in, this campaign, through the Murdoch media.
Correct.
Weren't we, Dr. Emmer? We were doing this ages ago. And so I was never really on Facebook. And then I first sort of thought, okay, I'll do an account for the Kras Files. And I went on and there was just really trolls and a couple of people. But now it's astounding. I mean, I put a story up yesterday that has had 10,000 views on the website in 2 days. Just over 2 days, over this Western Australian family, and Lee gets the same numbers for Real News Australia, and the groups on Facebook, Dr. Rima, you know, the Unvaccinated Australia, Anti-Vaccinated Australia, the private, the lock groups, there must be thousands and thousands of people, including the Natural Solutions Foundation Facebook page, which is going on 110,000 likes and growing. It's amazing. I've never seen anything like it.
I'm losing your sound. You know, I want to make a point here, and I want to share it with the people on this very, very inspiring and encouraging roundtable, and with the people who are listening, who need to be encouraged and inspired, and need to know that, surprise, surprise, it doesn't matter what the state says about you're needing to be vaccinated. No jab, no pay is not only unconstitutional in Australia, it violates Australia's obligations under international and domestic law. And I would like, if I may, to take a moment to talk about it, and then Ralph, who is the attorney, can actually, you know, fill it in. It turns out that if you live in a country, if you don't even have to be a citizen, if you just happen to be hanging out in a country which has ratified the Geneva Conventions, which is 126 countries. So an awful lot of people live in countries that have ratified by the Geneva Convention. If that's your situation, then you live in a country where the law that prevails is the international law that they agreed to when they ratified the treaty. What is a treaty? It's a bunch of laws that a country agrees to abide by, and they override local or national law. So the Geneva Convention law says that you have the right to informed consent, which means, and Ralph can talk about this in detail and quote the exact law, it's very much like the Australian Constitution, which means that you have the right to say no for any reason or for no reason to any medical intervention. Any medical intervention without punishment, without pressure, without prejudice, and without coercion. Not only that, you don't have to give up a right in order to get a benefit.
That's really
in
important.
Australia's law. Go ahead.
Right, that's really important. I want to really, Dr. Rima, emphasize that. In every civilized country, you know, the general rule of law is that it is illegal for a government agency to offer you a benefit and say, but you must surrender a right to get that benefit. So, for example, in California, where the state constitution says every child is guaranteed a free public education, so-called, when the state passed a law taking away the exemptions for school children, the vaccine exemptions, they were taking the position that you had to surrender your right to informed consent.
And your right to a free and public education.
Or one or the other, right. You had to surrender one or the other. You couldn't take the right to a free public education unless you surrendered the right to informed consent. Now look, a legislature that has created an exemption can take away that exemption. But the right of informed consent is not an exemption that was created by any legislature. It is part of international humanitarian law and has been for thousands of years. This is something that's beyond the scope of any state to legislate on. And when they try to do that, as they did in Nazi Germany, the people who think they are relying on that law sometimes find themselves being punished at a later date for the crime. And the crime is the same one. It's forcing medical intervention on people without their informed consent. What does the Nuremberg Code say? Well, you know, the Nuremberg Code is it's very interesting. Wars have consequences. And one of the consequences of World War II is that the whole world in revulsion insisted that the Nazi doctors had to be held accountable under international law. And so they had to say, well, what was international law? What has it always been? And the Nuremberg Code was an attempt to restate the existing international law on informed consent. It was written by scholars, legal scholars that the United States employed, and it therefore, as Dr. Rima pointed out, becomes binding through the Geneva Conventions on the victors as well as the vanquished. And what does it say? It says, and I quote, voluntary consent is absolutely essential. This means that the person involved should have legal capacity to give consent. In other words, they're not an incompetent person. Should be so situated as to be able to exercise free power of choice. In other words, you don't have a gun to their head. Without the intervention of any element of force, fraud, deceit, duress, as in your kids are not going to eat unless you get them jabbed, overreaching or other ulterior form of constraint or coercion, and should have sufficient knowledge and comprehension of the elements of the subject matter as to enable him to make an understanding and enlightened decision. So it's informed consent. It's not just consent. You know, we don't tell you anything and make you sign a piece of paper. It's informed consent. We tell you the truth, and then you make your own mind up. And this applies in Australia as well as California or anywhere else. And when the government of Australia was giving families a choice between feeding their children or living by their conscience, that is an outrageous choice. It is indeed as in the name of that movie from a few decades ago, Sophie's Choice. During the Nazi period, she was a mother who was forced to choose which of her children would live and which would die. And that's a choice no human being should ever be required to make. And any government that makes them, that offers that sort of choice, we have a word to describe it. And that's why I renamed the governor of California, the famous Jerry Brown, Governor Moonbeam, as he was called back in the 1970s in his first incarnation as governor of California. Now here in his second incarnation, after signing not one but two bills that impose mandatory vaccines on both children and adults in this case, we've renamed him. He's now a Governor Jerry Brown shirt. It's time to start calling them what they are. And he has allies in the government of Australia, no doubt.
Well, look, it never surprised me that Australia went down this, for want of a better word, the shit shoot as quickly as they did, because, you know, I really look at, you know, people always look at Australia and think, oh, you know, it's this laric and revolutionary type of place, but it really isn't. It's still basically a penal colony, and it has the convict mentality where, you know, you mutter against the prison guards, but at the end of the day, you just line up and you go into your cell. But it always surprised me that America and states in America went down this pathway, because, you know, you do have a greater revolutionary history than Australia or a lot of other countries.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, I think you're right about that. Americans tend to forget that we have this amazing piece of constitutional law that says Congress shall have no power to. And then it lists things Congress can't do. And I call those our associational rights, the rights that can't be interfered with that allow us to relate to other human beings. We also have our sovereignty rights, our personal sovereignty rights, which are also protected by a language of law that says, you know, our right to bear arms, for example, may not be interfered with. And that right to bear arms, which Australians have apparently lost to a very great extent, that right to bear arms is a fundamental human right. You know, it's a fundamental human right because the right of self-defense is a fundamental human right. I have the right to defend myself against other persons who are armed. And if I'm that right's taken away from me, I am no longer a free person.
We have to talk about everyone.
Go ahead, Dr. Rima.
And that if you assert the right of informed consent correctly, no one can take it away from you. No state, no orderly.
If they inject you against your will, against your informed consent, the person with the needle is liable in damages. It's malpractice and assault and battery. And at least in American law, it has been that since at least 1914.
And I believe that this is essentially a living will. The Advanced Vaccine Directive is a wallet-sized card that fits in the diaper bag, the backpack, the wallet, the purse of anyone who is protected in this way. And if signed and dated and including your name, then this asserts your right. And if your living will, which is what this is, your advanced medical directive, which is what this is violated, then the person who violates it is guilty. In the United States, receiving a vaccine from a doctor doesn't impose any liability on the doctor. Receiving a vaccine that makes you sick or kills you doesn't impose any tort liability on the company. Everybody's exempted. But receiving a vaccine against your will imposes a serious problem called malpractice, assault, battery. There are probably all kinds of civil rights that have been removed. I can't help but believe that Australia doesn't have exactly the same legal construct. The details might vary. And so people who do not wish to be vaccinated, as this global mandate bears down upon us, need to know what their rights are, and then more to the point, knowing it's great, but you need to know that you have to exert those rights in a very specific format. And that's what the Advanced Vaccine Directive card does, which is available at, well, actually it's available at several places, but it's easy to go to, for example, our e-commerce site. Adam, do I have your permission to give it?
Of course.
Okay, thank you. The e-commerce site, it is NSF, that's N for natural, S for solutions, F for foundation, nsfmarketplace.com, nsfmarketplace.com, and what you'll want is the Advance Vaccine Directive card, and there are other goodies there, but that's not the point. The point is, if you don't want to be vaccinated, not wanting is not enough. You have to actually take the legal steps to protect yourself, to bear not arms, but assertion in a correct way. And then you have a powerful, powerful force. And the truth of the matter is, if one person carries this card, I have it in my wallet, one person carries this card, it has very little weight. If a million persons or 10 million persons carry this card, it can stop the global vaccine mandates dead in their tracks, because this informed consent right is the Achilles, is the spear in the Achilles heel of the vaccine mandates.
Very nice. Very well said. And I'll bring Lee from Real News in now, but I got a really good article from the Bolan Report from Ralph about this anger that's building in California, and they're saying that these pro-vaxxer hyenas are really worried. They're looking over their shoulders because people are now finding out about this grubby money that went through their Senate office as payment for passing that Senate bill, which is SB 277. So this is mandating made in China, death pus capsules, no vaccines, onto Californian children. But we're now finding out in California that this Governor Jerry Brownshirt and all these people, there seems to be this slimy money being paid to bring this in, obviously through the pharmaceutical company. So that is a very positive article that I read. And I think the same is going to start happening here. I don't think we're quite where the US is, but I think we're our anger is building at what's being done to us and how we've been treated as well. But I don't know if you saw that, Lee, but absolutely incredible where you're seeing the state of California, these senators, Richard Pan, an MD he calls himself,
he's very pro. People, yeah, he's very pro-vaccine.
Getting, and all this money changing hands to push through these bills, which is the same thing that's happened here. But they've just used here in Australia a really extra nasty, disgusting, fear campaign of propaganda and lies and rubbish, you know, to knock it over the head of the Australian people. And I'm going to bring Dr. Reema again in soon. I got an important question for her in regards to that. But what are you seeing on the ground, Lee, with your side and what you're doing and how the media are reacting? Are you seeing big changes on your end as well?
Yep. I would say for sure, Adam, there appears to be a massive awakening happening. I mean, it's noticeable just on Facebook and with the amount of people who are – you see them coming. We obviously belong to some of these groups, the anti-vaccination groups on Facebook, and you'll see people come in who have joined the conversation, or they'll post a question and they'll be like, I'm not too sure if I should vaccinate, or they've got some doubts with regards to getting their child vaccinated. And then – You watch all the people from the anti-vaccine movement go on there, and they send all these helpful articles, and they'll send them information and reports, and from even from the CDC talking about how bad these things are. And then the person's like, "Oh wow, thank you so much for this. I wouldn't have got this anywhere else, and you know, you've helped me change my mind." And you can see it from that perspective that there is a change happening. There's now mothers out there, or mothers-to-be, I should say, expecting parents who are going out there looking for this information because they've heard something online, whether it's in a Facebook group or one of their friends has posted something that's popped up in their news feed, or you know, someone shared them an article like one that Brett put up or that I've put up, and it's gotten into their inbox or something. They're starting to question it. And that's what's really important. That's what's exciting, is that there's now this doubt in this whole pro-vaccine movement, and we're starting to see that take to the next level, and that's what we're all trying to do. Even with Real News Australia this year, we've myself and a colleague of mine have decided to step it up. We're going to start doing a lot more video reports. Going to go out and actually seek interviews with. There's a childcare provider on the Gold Coast in Australia and Queensland, who is now saying that they're going to allow the unvaccinated children to go there. They're not going to fall under the bully tactics of all these big movements. And this is popping up in the newspaper, and they're demonizing folks like this, but we want to go out and cover it and tell their side of the story, because it's just not getting told by the mainstream side. However, there still is this movement going about where people are waking up, and you folks like yourself and Brett, who's in this conversation as well, we can see it. We're helping these people reach other people as well. And that's what it's about. It's increasing exponentially the reach that we're trying to
do. Very well. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Lee. There's a part to that story that isn't being told very well yet by our side, and that is that the vaccinated are, and not necessarily the recently vaccinated, but the vaccinated are a danger to everybody. They're a danger to the vaccinated people for whom the vaccines don't work, and they're a danger to the unvaccinated people who shouldn't be exposed to mutated viruses and to bacteria that have been altered and to the things that these people shed. If you want to vaccinate yourself or your kid, which I think is a really stupid thing to do, but people have the right to do stupid things with their bodies and their children by extension. But if you want to vaccinate yourself or your child, that's great, but you have a public health responsibility to protect everybody else, and that means that you need to quarantine yourself or take nanosilver as a prophylactic until it can be proven that you are no longer infective. How about that? Why aren't we saying that?
Yeah, and it says it on the vaccine insert, sorry, Adam, that that you should be kept away from people for 2 or 3 weeks. I think it says on the flu shot, one of the flu vaccines. I'm pretty sure it says it on most of the other ones that you shouldn't be around unvaccinated or people who are immunosuppressed or whatever they term in the inserts. But people aren't doing it. It's like we'll have our appointment, we'll get our kids the shots, and then they're at school the next day, and then lo and behold, oh, look, there's now an epidemic at this school of chicken pox, a dozen kids is what they're calling an epidemic these days. But and then it's hyped up in the media, oh, my God, all these people need to increase vaccination. And then they spin it the other way. But it's lo and behold, it's actually the kids who have received the shots that are actually doing the damage, isn't it? But this isn't being told. So this is where we step in and we go, wait a minute, how about this information? We've got links to folks like Dr. Reamer and all these important people who are actually trying to highlight this very important fact that the kid's getting the shots, that you're the ones doing the damage here.
They don't like it though, Lee.
Exactly.
They hate it. Yeah.
But that's the thing. I'll get Brett in here and get his opinion on this, and then you, Dr. Reamer, very important, because we have such a mix of people here. Lee and I are researchers who have been doing this for a long time. We've got a doctor here, we've got a naturopath, we've got a lawyer. This shows the diversity of our groups, and the Australian media are utterly demonising the anti-vaccination movement, which I will say as well, there's lots of anti-vaccination trolls in our groups that got in, just creating fake profiles, who are making nasty comments, who are baiting people and then getting it out to the media, and they're demonising us. I've been doing this a long time, and I just decided to get involved. For me, it's a vaccine issue, but it's also a health freedom issue. I do not want to. This is not the Australia I grew up in, and it's not the one I want to live in. And I don't want any pharmaceutical companies, governments, any of these people telling me what I put in my body or my child's body. It's my body. I'll do what I want with it. If you want to vaccinate, as Dr. Emer says, go ahead, knock yourself out, have a bath in the stuff. But don't tell me how to live my life and what to do. But, this whole anti-vaccination movement I wanted to stick up for today, because every single person that I've met in this movement, reflecting on what Lee just said, they are incredible people, and it's utterly diverse in there. There's all sorts of people from all walks of life, and these people are all amazing. Everyone I know in there, they all just want to help, and they all want to protect their civil liberties and their health freedoms. They don't want to live in some kind of medical dictatorship or tyranny in this country and be treated like this. But we're being demonized through the media, and the media are actually the trolls. They're the ones who are going to despicable and disgusting lows here, not us. We conduct ourselves.
We're talking about journalists
as they are. They are, but they're just spineless, and so we're just going to go over the top of them. But
media are trolls.
They are, but here's the thing that I want to ask Brett and you, Dr. Rima, and it's very basic, I know, and I know you'll talk about it till the cows come home, but it really makes my blood boil, and I know Lee feels the same. That what they're getting, they're maintaining a lie. That's what they're doing, and they're just desperate. They've got this rickety house that's about to fall down around their ears, and they must maintain that lie. But it's this whole thing that the media have created: keep your unvaxxed kid away from mine, your dirty child. And now I'm actually meeting people in public and that I worked with who are saying this, and I come into contact with them, and they just regurgitate stuff that they've read from the Murdoch papers, and I say, I don't want to talk to you. You go back and actually do your own research and come back to me with an actual honest answer. Something, I don't care what it is, as long as you've learnt it. They're just like a parrot recycling this garbage, and they're doing it on the breakfast shows now, on the mainstream shows, and all through the papers, saying that the anti-vaxxers are going underground, that we're harbouring disease, our kids are harbouring disease, they're a threat to society. I've seen professors from universities get up on national television and say that unvaccinated kids are a threat to society, they harbour disease, and they're spreading it to everyone. Now, Lee and Brett know this very well in Australia, and they just keep getting away with it. I've seen this Koshy on Morning TV say it, and I'm just sitting there in disbelief listening to this because they don't show one speck of evidence to prove what they're saying. Now, Brett, what do you think about this? Because you're seeing it on the ground, this whole thing, and this discrimination and treating Australian families who have done nothing wrong like criminals, and their children like lepers. And now people are saying they're worried about their kids who are unvaxxed going to school because they may get picked on because their parents have a certain viewpoint. And why wasn't this a problem 5 or 10 years ago?
This is the funny part. I mean, I'm sad. Well, I'm happy and sad to say that I have 7 children. They range in age. My eldest is 23 and my youngest is 1. So I've been involved in the vaccination debate for a long time. Now, 23 years ago, you could have this conversation and it was about 60-40%. You know, about 60% of people believed in vaccination, but not into the crazy pro-vax state we've reached today. But I've watched over, and it's really been since the measles, the huge measles hysteria at Disneyland. Since that point, this has become a subject that's become where you are being attacked. Where parents are sort of saying, oh my God, your kids aren't vaccinated. Oh my God, they're full of polio and God knows what. Don't bring them to my parties type thing. But this I blame entirely in this country on the Murdoch media because they definitely have pushed this line. And I mean, I was only just contacted last week by a journalist who said, oh yeah, look, I want to get your thoughts on this. We've heard there's a group of unvaccinated mothers that are meeting at the zoo on Wednesday of next week, and should this be of cause for concern? And I said, why would it be a cause for concern?
Infect the animals.
He said, all these unvaccinated children are going to be meeting at the zoo. And I said, how many times do you think in the last 100 years groups of unvaccinated children have been meeting at the zoo? I said. And then I said to him, when did you have your last booster shots? And he said, oh, well, I don't see how that's relevant. And I said, well, just answer the question and I'll tell you how relevant it is. And he said, well, I'm 40 years old. I haven't had any shots really since I was a kid. And I said, well, even the manufacturer acknowledges that the immunity, if you get any immunity from it, wanes between 1 and 10 years. So I said, you would be in the same position as any unvaccinated kid in this country, and it doesn't stop you from going to bars and zoos and public places. I mean, I cannot believe we live in a society where within 2 to 3 years we have suddenly developed this fear of unvaccinated children who have always been in the community. Mm. You know, where's data? They say they love data. You know, these people, they're science advocates, they want the data. Where are all the where's all the data on the immunocompromised individuals and the children too young to get a vaccine that are dying from infectious disease? It doesn't exist.
Well,
Good call, Brett. Sorry. If,
horrible fear that. Yeah. Okay. This horrible fear of the, heaven forfend, unvaccinated, is carefully orchestrated. This is propaganda that is being thrust into our awareness through multiple streams. We're being infected with a lie. We're being infected with false facts. This is typical government, corporate, crony disinformation. And the only way to counter it is to identify the source of the disinformation, because if you try to counter it with logic, you're using logic in a situation where there is no logic on the other side. It's not as if you and I are having a debate. Well, I think nanosilver is useful because I have these facts. Well, I don't think nanosilver is useful because I have these facts. That's a discussion. What we're talking about here is brilliant and magnificently financed destructive propaganda designed to set you up for depopulation and for control. The Natural Solutions Foundation on September 11th, 2013, ran a webinar called Autism an Inside Job, in which we showed, and this is available, you can get it online if you like, Autism an Inside Job, in which we showed that vaccines are being used specifically to create high-functioning autistic workers, and that the mega industries and governments are reaching out competitively, seeking out the high-functioning autistic workers, because they are called, as the British Parliament called them, the perfect workers. They are docile. They can be replaced. They love repetitive tasks. They don't have social skills enough to organize or to protest anything. They can be paid pennies on the dollar compared to, or very few pennies on the dollar compared to non-impaired workers. They are, in fact, Aldous Huxley's Delta workers. So it is carefully orchestrated that we present ourselves and our precious infants and children to the machine to have our ability to think independently and to reproduce eliminated for us. And in the United States, I can't tell you whether it's true in Australia, but I would suspect every single company that has been and given a permit to deploy any vaccine in the United States has, since 2013, had a contract with the United States Department of Defense to nanochip every single vaccine.
And that's really significant, folks. There's a lot more happening here than just depopulation and population control. A lot more happening than anything else. I thought I would bring two things to our attention of our listeners, and that is, you know, we've proven over the past decade or so that pushback works, that when used correctly, the social media can get a good deal of change going in any situation. We did that in the United States, where we've stopped bills from being adopted, where we've kept language in laws that protects, for example, dietary supplements, and we've done that with taken millions of emails sometimes. But in Chile, Dr. Rima and the crew down there were able to stop the Monsanto law, the law that on seed control, with the social media and a few hundred thousand or million people in Chile. So everywhere in the world where pushback occurs on the social media, governments back off. And so we do that through a web form action item, a simple web form that you can send messages to your legal representatives, to political and other decision makers. We've got two of those set up, one for the United States and one for Australia, and I'd like to give those links to everyone. We use a system for small links, for short links, to make it a little bit easier, because the links to these action items are very long. And so if you just go to tinyurl.com, that's T-I-N-Y, tinyurl.com/, and then put in no forced vax, that's VAX, Australia. You'll get to the action item for Australia, which sends a message to the Prime Minister and others. Or if you're in the United States, you can do tinyurl.com/informed-consent-petition, and you'll get the action item for Americans that sends messages to your local representatives as well as to the president, to the FDA, and that sort of thing. And especially for the vile HPV vaccine, which we have spent a lot of time in the past couple of weeks exposing, you know, the major, major breakthrough, which I'd like Dr. Rima to address in a minute, with regard to what's happening with the HPV vaccine and why it is so so important. But before we do that, we have a separate, an entirely separate action item just for the HPV vaccine. We are calling for a worldwide moratorium, and the message is going to the WHO, the head of the WHO, Dr. Chan. And that one is tinyurl.com. Dr. Rima, help me remember that one. Stop HPV mandates, or I'm trying to remember.
It's http://tinyurl.com/HPVAX/kills.
That was it.
HPVAX kills because HP vaccines kill. And we want, as Ralph said, a worldwide moratorium on these vaccines. Why? Well, Dr. S. Lee of New Zealand is a world-famous pathologist and an expert in the detection of viral DNA. He's also specifically an expert in the detection of HPV viral DNA. Now, a little bit of background. When viral DNA gets into your body and it is in what's called the non-V, as in Victor, or viral or vicious, conformation, the non-V conformation, it's like drills drilling into your own DNA and creating absolute unpredictable havoc. So just remember the non-V conformation. So on Labor Day weekend, which in the United States is the first sometime in the first week of September, in 2011, Dr. Lee sent a formal letter to the FDA, and he said, in much more scientific terms, "Hey, listen up, guys. You said when you approved the HPV vaccine Gardasil and then later Cervarix, when you approved them, you said that because they could not possibly have viral DNA particles, you could approve them. If they had viral DNA particles, you wouldn't approve them. But I have discovered, and here is my evidence, blah, 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 blah. I have discovered that every single sample of Gardasil has a non-V conformation DNA contamination, every single one. And so therefore, you really can't make this stuff available. You have to take it off the market immediately." And the FDA said, "Well, yeah, we sort of said that before, but hey, you know, we're just going to ignore it. So we'll do nothing. Thank you so much." Well, Dr. Lee was not satisfied with that, and he said to himself, "How could this be? Who's involved here? Follow the money. Who's selling it? Who's approving it?" And so Dr. Lee did a Freedom of Information Act investigation in New Zealand, and he came up with emails from the World Health Organization, from the CDC, from the Japanese government, and from a bunch of supposedly prominent, respectable scientists, individuals, and associated with these organizations and committees of review that were actively and actually colluding to bury the information to destroy the credibility of the information, to confuse the regulators who were looking at the safety in Japan of this, as to whether they should, in fact, allow the HPV vaccines to be continued. This was a criminal collusion committed to electronic paper. And Dr. Lee presented last week a formal complaint to the head of the World Health Organization, Dr. Margaret Chan, who, of course, is up to her eyeballs in this just as well as anybody else. And by the way, the World Health Organization has a budget of which approximately 70% comes directly from pharmaceutical companies, which might explain why they never met a vaccine they didn't love. But anyway, he did a press release after he made this formal complaint, and we, along with SaneVax, S-A-N-E, SaneVax.org, released this on the 15th of January to the world. And with that, we decided that we would call for a worldwide moratorium on both the Gardasil and the Cervarix vaccine. Let me point out that in Japan, the only country in the world which introduced both Cervarix and Gardasil simultaneously, these were the results. Now, we know that the flu vaccine causes a great deal of harm. The Gardasil vaccine caused 26 times as many serious adverse events, including death, as the flu vaccine. But the Cervarix vaccine, which has squalene in it, a particularly hideous adjuvant, the Cervarix vaccine caused 52 times as many serious adverse events, which is why the Japanese said, maybe we better stop this. And this collusion to which I refer, based on Dr. Lee's releasing the emails, said, hey, we have to make this go away. How can we make this go away so we can sell the damn vaccine? That's what we're talking about. So when you say that the propaganda or that the information has changed and suddenly we don't want these dirty unvaccinated children. No, the propaganda machine is rolling. And frankly, it's brilliant, brilliant, and infinitely funded. When these people run out of money, their friends print more. So all we have is the truth and the ability to mass the pushback. And that's quite enough.
Very well said. Jeez, staggering.
Well, to add to that, and this will give it a little bit more of an Australian slant. Dr. Lee's open letter to the World Health Organization actually also mentioned, you know, with that Freedom of Information pile of emails that he got, a very interesting doctor popped up in there. Her name was Dr. Helen Patousis Harris.
Yes,
she's from New Zealand. Now, Adam and Lee will appreciate this maybe a little bit better than our international guests, but she had just 3 or 4 days earlier written a scathing blog on one of our an academic in Australia, a scientist who'd just done a thesis on vaccine and vaccine legislation in Australia. So of course they did, the skeptics and the critics and the pharmaceutical companies did their usual sort of trick, and they said, okay, well, let's attack the person. Let's ridicule, defame, and try and destroy their credibility. Now, Helen Patousis Harris was actually the author of that letter, trying to destroy the credibility of an academic and scientist asking legitimate questions in relation to vaccine safety. So it was no surprise to see, you know, when I saw Dr. Lee's letter, that she's one of the main instigators in this cover-up of the actual safety issues around Gardasil. And I thought, you know, this is the thing. We're sort of building the network now where, you know, we're finding all the journalists that they're using, they're using the same doctors all the time, you know, as the spokesman in the front for pharmaceutical companies. But you know, Helen Pertussis Clark, I actually like to call her Helen Pertussis Clark, is a good example that no one escapes the universal laws of karma. You know, she tried to fully discredit a scientist with one of her own slanderous blogs, and then a couple of days later, out comes Dr. Lee's, or well, not out later, it was, you know, it became more available to the public. Here's her name as one of the authors hiding the safety issues around this horrible vaccine.
Absolutely. And let me make the point very clearly that every vaccine is equally horrible.
Yes, there are.
Quite a lot of noise.
What's that noise?
Someone at the airport, or?
Not I.
Okay.
No, not I.
Ralph just taken off on a plane.
Bill Gates.
Maybe. maybe our plow guy is finally showing up and the driveway is going to get plowed out. I don't know. We now have almost 2.5 feet of snow. But it's, you know.
But while we've been talking, how very interesting. I think it's very, very important to understand that anytime the government tells you and the media join in telling you that something is only good for you or only bad for you, you know you are in the face of strong and well-orchestrated propaganda.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Isn't it funny as well, Lee and Brett, how selective these people are in the media? Like, they have no worries on their TV breakfast shows bringing on Murdoch columnists to talk about and push vaccines. They won't let anyone else on any of these shows or in the media to have their say. But someone, you know, they bring on these groggy, sort of pale-looking doctors and professors that look like they're about to fall over and die, and they're the doctor, they're the expert. But then on our side, we get international doctors like Dr. Rima, but oh no, they're not a doctor, they're a quack, sorry. You know, and all this, it really is staggering in this country what's going on, you know, how these TV shows can just come in like that and just have their own people up there to have this one-sided biased debate to come to the conclusions that just suit their agenda. And just completely ignore our side?
I think they've learnt their lesson, Adam, because I remember seeing, if you go to Vera Scheibner's website, she's got a little YouTube clip of when she was on, I think maybe Today or one of the programs, and you know, she was just up there just telling the truth about vaccines and everything. Vera's an amazing woman. I'm sure you guys have heard of Vera Scheibner. Mm-hmm. And she just blew the lid on so many things. And I think they've learnt their lesson from things like this. So they don't put them on anymore. They put their own experts on. Like you said, Adam, they won't have any other side of the argument whatsoever. I mean,
not even a basic anti-vaxxer, no. Just someone who's done a little bit of research they don't want on there.
No, they don't want them on there at all. No. And if they do, I mean, you saw what they did to Pauline Hanson, who was saying we should be pro-choice about vaccines and all. They, you know, they tried to demolish her, and she sort of stood her ground. And you know, Pauline Hanson has a bit of a bad name in this country, depending on your point of view of her. But even with things like this baby Riley and lots of stuff, they're happy to show a little baby dying of whooping cough. And you know, a big, massive push for vaccination. Yet they won't show someone like this this poor guy Ben over in Ben Hammond in Western Australia, who's permanently now disabled because of the pertussis vaccine. You know what I mean? Like because they wanted to see their newborn premature baby, and the hospital basically said you can't see your child unless you've been vaccinated. And they went, oh, okay, righto, we'll get the shot. And now he's permanently disabled, yet this story won't hit the mainstream. They won't come up against this as a side thing to someone else dying, a baby dying from whooping cough. They won't show what happens if you get vaccinated or the chances of this thing happening if you get vaccinated because of it. They won't show the polar opposites, which, there you go, clearly shows you it's a one-sided argument.
That's a direct vaccine damage case as well. Correct. Like, that's really direct.
Nor do they talk about the fact that before vaccination, whooping cough was a disease of toddlers and early school age children. And despite the propaganda, it rarely killed anybody with a decent immune system, a decent diet, clean water, sanitation, and hygiene. It was indeed a disease of childhood. And yes, it's uncomfortable to hear your child whooping. It's a very distressing sound. But parents knew that they would take the child into the bathroom, turn on the steam, you know, the hot water, or heat up a kettle of water and hold the baby close to where they could inhale the steam, which would open their respiratory tract, and the child would be fine. They also knew that giving the baby vitamin A and vitamin C was a very, very potent treatment for any child that had whooping cough, and very few children actually in places with decent diets and decent sanitation died of whooping cough. And then the vaccine came. And what happened was that the agent mutated and the immunity changed. And so babies began getting the pertussis condition because of the vaccination of the people around the babies. And when babies die, it's because the vaccine has increased the mortality by decreasing the age at which the disease occurs. In South Korea, for example, I believe it was 1974, but my there's a bell going off in my brain. It might have been 1977. Anyway, around then, when the pertussis vaccine was mandated. Forgive me, I don't have the year correct, but the pertussis vaccine was mandated, and something like 98.4% of the population was vaccinated against pertussis. The number of pertussis deaths increased by 11,000%.
Wow.
Because the vaccine kills directly, and the vaccine kills indirectly. Let's be clear about this, and our side needs to get this information out. We've got the internet, we've got each other, and by God, we're letting them control the dialogue? No, that's wrong. We have the facts, we have the science, they have the prostitutes, and we need to get these facts out.
Yeah, no, that's frightening, and I think it's showing. I mean, that's one of the things that always amazed me about this argument, is because I've been watching it for a while, and I thought, well, ultimately it will fail, because you know, if you're a results, you know, if you're basing your success on results, these guys aren't getting results. They're, you know, the whooping cough in particular, the more we vaccinate, the greater the increase in incidence, and as you said earlier as well.
Now, that is why our side needs to go on the aggressive position. We've been busy defending ourselves in the main.
Yes.
And that's wrong. You never win on the defensive. You win on the offensive. Our side needs to use truth offensively rather than defensively.
That's right. Yeah, good information, positive attitude, and just keep pumping it out and growing our network. But as I said before, Brett knows this, we probably won't go into it too much, but there are entities in Australia that are in there trying to demonize us and twist anything they can get
against
us. But it's very strong in this country. It's very strong, and
strong in the United States.
It is, but we just,
and it's very
we just
strong
need to
in
keep
Canada,
going.
And it's, you know? Yes, and I take it as a mark
that
of good
right
behavior. Yes,
well.
I mean, if they weren't bothered by us, we'd be totally irrelevant.
Well, if we're conspiracy theorists and vaccines are good, why are they doing it? You know, that's the thing. So it's pretty obvious.
This, Dr. Lee did a wonderful service by showing that there is a conspiracy to defraud, a conspiracy to take away our informed consent right. And that, by the way, is a criminal activity. In the United States, anyway. Ralph, are you still there? Because I'd like you to comment on this if you are.
Okay.
In the United States, when the Nazi doctors were executed in one of the subsequent Nuremberg trials, by the United States, it became the law of the land under, again, the Geneva Convention International Treaty, which supersedes national law, that if you take away somebody's informed consent, that's a capital offense. You can be executed for it, as the doctors were who had been part of the Nazi effort. Well, that's very interesting. So if you take away somebody's informed consent, through a conspiracy, a cabal, as proven now by these Freedom of Information Act letters. Wouldn't that also be a crime, Ralph? Isn't this an intent to take away, to remove the inalienable right of informed consent? And might that be, if not capital, at least something that's punishable by jail time, or maybe a capital offense?
Certainly, if it were part and parcel of a war, if a government were doing that as part of its war effort to depopulate another country by shooting them up with dangerous drugs, it could be seen as part and parcel of a war crime. Of course, the war going on here is by the elites against the rest of us. You know, I mean, that's really the issue here. We are at war, and we are, in fact, the targets of a war. And that is something that General Bert Stubblebine, the esteemed president of Natural Solutions Foundation, wrote about recently. In fact, if you ought to go to www.drrimatruthreports, that's drrimatruthreports.com, and, take a look at what General Bert has been writing about. He sees this war and how it's being fought, how we're being fought against and how we're being attacked. He points out, for example, as a result of the genomicidal technologies like vaccines, other drugs, geoengineering, GMOs, and nuclear power, the various things that are being used to restructure, if you will, our species and our planet. As a result of that, for the first time in 150 years, a specific cohort of Americans, the 45 to 55-year-old group of white males, the people who should be the most, if you will, pampered group of individuals on this planet, you know, the rulers of the center of the empire, if you will, are dying younger than the last cohort of 45 to 55-year-olds. And the next cohort, which are 35 to 45, they're not living longer than the previous ones. That is, we are beginning to lose the race for longevity, if you will. We're beginning to die off younger and younger. This is precisely what happened in the Soviet Union before its collapse. And so people need to pay attention to what's going on. They need to see that we are indeed subject to a war. And we ought to have the same rights as anyone else who's caught in a war has.
We'll say that.
Well, even if we are not in a war that has been declared, it's quite clear to me that the Geneva Convention law of informed consent, applies to people who are non-combatants as well, because the prisoners in the concentration camps were non-combatants, and they are the ones for whom the sentence of execution because their rights were denied, the sentence of execution was imposed and carried out. They were non-combatants, because the Geneva Convention does state how wars are to be carried out, but it also has protections for non-combatants. Yo, I'm a non-combatant. You want to vaccinate me? You want to mess with my DNA? You want to make me infertile, give me cancer, give me Alzheimer's disease? You want to force me to accept something in which there's a significant risk and deny my right to say no? You are violating the war, whether you are at, I'm sorry, you are violating the law, whether you're at war with me or whether you're just clinically insane.
Well,
if you're just insane, Dr. Reed.
Power corrupts absolutely and makes you crazy as well, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's phenomenal. Yeah. I'm seeing a great change in the United States, so that's wonderful. I'm very happy about that, and I'm seeing it here on the ground. So I think we've come so far, and it's only going to grow. So it's we just want to get our side of the story out to everybody, and tell them about our wonderful movement.
I have to disagree with you, Adam. As much as I love you, I have to disagree. agree with you. I don't just want to get my side of the story out. I want to get your damn syringe out of my face.
Exactly. Of course. I said that before, you know. I'm very strong about that. I've, you know, very, very strong about that. I will not be told what to do. They can go and get stuff. You know, absolutely, Dr. Reamer, I agree, you know. I can't believe even people who are pro-vax in this country, why would you want to live in a country where your children and their children are going to have no rights over their own bodies? I mean, you know, you want to be dictated to by massive pharmaceutical companies who have only interest in making money? And, you know, I mean,
well, they
I
have
can't
another
understand.
Interest, too. They have,
I know
they
do,
have another but, interest, and that interest is in depopulation.
Population
it's very
control.
Clear.
Yeah.
Exactly. Population elimination and control of the remaining population. You think that's conspiratorial? You're right. The conspiracy is on the part of the globalists. Read Agenda 21. Go to www.truthaboutagenda21.com. Read their document. Then, if that's not bad enough for you, and if you can still sleep, then I can fix that for you. Go read Agenda 2030.
Yeah.
Because we're no longer at Agenda 21, where 10% of the population will be permitted to live on 1% of the landmass of the country, and everything else will be given back to nature. Yeah, right, sure. And the other 90% will be disposed of, where children will be educated minimally so that they don't, quote, use more than their fair share of the resources. Will they be fed minimally so that they don't grow to their full genetic potential, because people who do use, quote, more than their fair share of the resources of the planet. If that's not bad enough for you, read what on September 25th was adopted by the dreadful dangerous United Nations as Agenda 2030, and then decide whether you want to live in a country where you are destined for either enslavement or elimination.
Yeah, that's right. It's something people want. But how do we, you know, we can just do what we do, Dr. Emma, but we need to snap people out of this spell and make them see that they're being
but
entertained as
it.
They're being dragged under the quicksand. But they're entertaining people. You know, they're just brainwashing so many people, and they're not seeing what's really going on around them. And they're getting to that whole Stockholm syndrome where they're protecting the captors, they're enjoying their enslavement, and they're attacking us for trying to say something. And you know, time's running out for
but
these people. You know,
you. Adam, you, Lee, doctors like you, doctors like me, lawyers like Ralph, advocates who are not burdened with licenses and professional doodads, but who are telling the truth from their point of view. Every one of us is making a difference because, as you said, that information is being disseminated. We have to stop being timid. We have to stop saying, well, you know, it's really just a matter of personal choice. No, it's a matter of my choice for me, for my family. You want to toxify yourself? You go right ahead, but stay away from me until I know that you've stopped shedding because you're a danger to society.
Yeah, yeah, you go and quarantine your own vaccinated kids.
Yeah.
Anyway, we might plug out now and go around and get everybody's last thoughts. Brett,
well, look,
what's your last thoughts on this? And Dr. Emma would like you to go on her live radio show as well.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah,
yes.
I'm happy to. It'd be
we'll
great.
Set that up. Yep.
Look, my last thoughts on it is, you know, personally, I see that we're, you know, my father had a famous saying before. Well, he's lived his life by it. He said, you know, he used to call it the 85% rule. And that rule meant was like all 85% of all human endeavor was crap. Including the human. So he said that's what made great art great and great music fantastic and great science, you know, he said, because it's you've got to get past all the bullshit. And unfortunately at the moment, I used to think he was a bit of a pessimist, but now I'm starting to think he might have been a bit of an optimist. I think the greatest concern of what's happened to us over the last few years in relation to this debate is how willingly people have accepted it. I expect, big pharma and big government and big business to act in a psychopathic manner. That's just how that's how they run their show. And I get it and I expect it. But how people have clamored for it has really disturbed me.
Yeah.
I am shocked at how I feel in the last 10, 15 years we have gone backwards on this this discussion so fast. It's not funny.
Yeah.
So these types of podcasts and articles and getting that information out there is huge, because the juggernaut you're up against is massive as well.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, it's been an amazing fear campaign for them, and particularly the Murdoch media. It really has worked wonders for them. I've never seen anything like it. We were fine, weren't we, Brett, a couple of years ago? No one cared about who got vaccinated or didn't, and then they just decided out of the clear blue sky that your kids are a threat, and the campaign has been utterly overwhelming, and it's been...
It's been 2 years. It's been within maybe even 18 months. Within 18 months, I've seen sort of normal, rational people become hysterical, disease-fearing, unvaccinated, child-fearing psychopaths. You look at them and you can see that they would willingly have you shunned from society for your view. And I just didn't think that I would ever see that in rational society.
Shows you how powerful the media are. And you say to them, look, if your kids are vaccinated, what do they have to worry about if they come into contact with an unvaccinated child? Your child's vaccinated. You don't seem to have much confidence in the vaccines you got. You need to go back to the doctor and tell him he ripped you off. But they won't answer you.
Zero logic in this.
There's no logic, but it's, as I said, they're just blindly repeating this media propaganda spin without thinking for themselves. We liken this just like 9/11. You were told the buildings are coming down. The terrorists did it. They're over in Iraq and Afghanistan. That's who did it. And they tell you on the screen as they're showing you what to think. People aren't stepping back and doing enough thinking for themselves. And that's what's really worrying me in this country. I agree, Brett. I'm seeing a real... We've lost so much ground here. And, I just... As I said, I hope... people out there can knock themselves out of this media spin and spell and just look at what they're saying. It doesn't make any sense. It's utterly ridiculous. These people are like clowns, they really are. I just can't believe it. So we just have to keep treading water and keep our heads above the surface there and see if we can keep moving forward.
You're dealing with fluoridated people.
I know. Brain damage.
Pineal glands, yeah. Whose pineal glands have been calcified because of the fluoride, who have lost their, if you will, their moral compass on these and the ability to right themselves in the waters that are choppy and made choppy for them by the propagandists. So we need simple ideas. And the simple ideas they can be complex ideas, but we need simple phrases. If your vaccine works, you have nothing to worry about. Maybe it doesn't work. That kind of concept. We need simple, punchy phrases, which we then back up with our abundant science and our logic and so on, because these people are mesmerized by mantras that – and what's the purpose of a mantra? It's to eliminate conscious thought, is it not? And sometimes if you're using it as a meditative tool, it's very helpful. But if you're using it as a propaganda tool, it's extraordinarily effective. We need valid mantras coming out of our creativity and our passion for the truth that people can sort of hang on to, like bits of a barrel that's broken apart when the ship has been stove in by a whale, the wooden ship. We need to give people some sort of something to cling to while they climb up out of the morass and figure it out. And that means we have to get better and better at communicating our message. And we have to stop being afraid to be passionate. We are passionate. We're fighting for our lives.
Yeah, I disagree. Yeah.
They want to kill us.
Do it the right way.
Dr. Rima, that's what we're going to be doing over here at RNA. We're going to be stepping it up a notch. We're going to take the gloves off and get in people's faces. We're going to do a lot of on-the-street reporting. That's the plan for 2016, is to get in and get on the ground and talk to people, highlight some of these folks that are, you know, the skeptics, and just really get in their face and get the real information out there. Like you said, real simple arguments, but backed up by, you know, wealth of information by folks like yourself and you know, naturopaths and stuff like Brett. You know, we'd even like to try and get Brett on as well, if we can head over and interview, you know, you sometime, mate. But this is sort of this year sometime. But just to sort of show people that there are people out there who are, you know, they're not fake. They're real people. But this isn't just someone on a screen on Facebook we're talking
to. Multiply our impact.
Yeah, that's right. That's the aim for this year. That's that was not really a resolution, but you know, a colleague of mine sort of said to me, "I want to start doing videos this year. Let's get out there and start doing it." I said, "Well, yeah, let's make a move and do it." And yeah, that's the plan for this year anyway, guys. So that's going to be potential. Happening at realnewsaustralia.com. Yeah,
there's huge potential, Lee, for RNA, and you've been on FM radio in Queensland. You have a classic radio voice, so that there's such a massive. Way forward for you, I think. I'm waiting for RNA to go through the roof and go mainstream, actually.
That's the idea,
because of the
mate.
Way
yeah,
you conduct yourself. It's so
professional. We're bringing you guys with so us. Many of it. We're bringing you along for the ride. Don't
yeah,
don't
we're,
worry
we're,
about that.
We're all together. We just want to say to the big groups on Facebook, on Unvaccinated Australia, people can go there. They are kind of locked now, Dr. Rima, because of the trolls that are getting in. But to all the people on those groups in the anti-vaccination pages, tighten your belt up. I know it's a pain, but tighten up in there, because they're watching you in there and they're taking your comments. So I would say keep pumping out incredible information and make positive comments about those stories, but don't insult anyone, or because I myself get a bit upset.
I get a bit emotional
and I get excited, and I said things and they got me, and I regret it. I shouldn't have said them. And as Brett said, when any baby dies of whooping cough or comes down with whooping cough, it's horrifying. None of us want to see it. It's the worst thing for anybody to see. I don't want to see any baby cough or get ill in any way. It's heartbreaking. So just people all on those sites, tighten up your act. Start pumping out all the great information. Go to Dr. Rima's pages. Go to our pages. Share information. Help people. And just step it up. And don't worry about these people that are trying to bring us down. We move straight through them, Lee, and keep the fight up and keep moving.
Yep, and keep doing it, keep pushing, because we are making an impact. We really, really are making an impact. We can all see it. We can all attest to it. So we just got to keep pushing.
Ralph?
Yes.
Anything you want to finish on
push
today,
back,
my friend?
Push back.
Yeah.
Go to tinyurl.com/NoForcedVaxAustralia. Millions of emails need to get to the PM, and then things will change.
Can you send those links through again, Ralph?
Yes.
On this thread,
it's
so we can put
URL,
them
on. And you know, just you don't need to put the HTTP or anything. If you just type in tinyurl.com/NoForcedVaxAustralia. You will get to the right place, folks.
All the work's done on that as well, Ralph. All the work's done. So all people have to do is click on the link and then press send, and it goes to the Prime Minister and all sorts of people. So
almost that easy.
Yeah, you don't have to type anything. It's all done. The letter's
Ralph,
all written
would you
up.
Ralph, would you please, on this chat, put a high-quality image of a sample AVD card so that people can
absolutely
put it in?
Absolutely.
Sorry to interrupt, Dr. Rima. I was just going to say, Ralph, if you've got one, I want to add it to my widget bar on the side so I can have a nice, good quality image for people to click through so they know where to purchase it from.
Yeah, I'm putting it right here.
Perfect. Let me make a point that I think is very, very, very important. The dirty little secret of the globalist cabal is that we have all the power, and they don't want us to know that. They want us to think that they have all the power. They have the propaganda. They have the money. They have the advertising. They have the machinery. But in fact, and we have found this through the Natural Solutions Foundation. By the way, our principal website where you can go and sign up for our newsletter is Dr. Rima Truth Reports. DrRima truthreports.com. No, Ralph, we want the one with a sample across it. Take that off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it's the same type, but sample across would be great.
Yes. And so when we push back, whether it's against Monsanto, as we've done here in Chile, or whether it's against the FDA, as we did it in 2009 when we stopped their forced vaccination program for the H1N1 make-believe level 6 pandemic, when we stopped it in 11 days with 3.5 million emails, and they said, guess we shouldn't do that. We have proven over and over again that when we rise up in our rational masses and we say the three most important words that any activist can say to any imposing government or company, and those words are, don't you dare. By God, they don't dare. How about that? They don't dare. They're weak, they're few, and they're fearful. And they want us to think that we are weak, we are few, and we are fearful. Vaccinated people are contaminating others. They want us to think that unvaccinated people are contaminating others. It's Alice in Wonderland in the looking glass, except that we're too smart for that.
Yep, exactly.
Well said. Are we about done today? Is that all? Everyone happy?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yep.
Okay. Well, it's been a great roundtable. I think everyone will agree. And we're going to do this a bit more often, Dr.
Im.
We're going to do a bit more often too.
Absolutely.
Get everyone together.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. Get all our movement together and show how big we are, and our force is to be reckoned with. So, Dr. Rima, Ralph, thank you very much. Lee, great to have you on as usual. Yep. Get you on again soon. And Brett, you are the man. You're
Cheers.
A champion.
Thanks
You're
for that.
Doing an amazing job, my friend. You really are. You're taking it to them as well.
Thanks, Adam.
It's really good. So keep up the good work. And this podcast will go up all over the place very soon. And I'll put it in the thread there as well, Brett, for you to keep for yourself and reference. Okay.
Thanks, Adam. Cheers, mate.
Very good.
Thanks, Dr. Ralph.
Rima, I've got a couple of things to take care of.
Thanks, guys.
I'll be back to you in a little while.
Okay.
Go and shovel snow, Ralph.
Bye-bye. Yeah. I got to go find a husband and a dog.
Good luck.
All right, good luck.
Oh, Jesus.
Bye.
Oh,
much love, guys.
Yeah.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Folks.
Bye.
Okay, thanks so much for listening. Thanks to our great guests. That was a really good show. And we're all good people just trying to get some information out there. Our whole movement is absolutely wonderful. And thanks so much for listening. Go to crazfiles.com, CRAZZ, and check out all the news links going up. Check out all our older podcasts, all sorts of stuff going up there. And you can check us out on iTunes. We are up there as well. And check us out on Facebook if you'd like to. And thanks for listening.